Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday morning and welcome to SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. Now, we have a very, very interesting and fun episode today. While I am here, your regular host, Nick Angus, unfortunately, Hannah is unable to be here due to tonsillitis. But do not fear, because we have a very, very special guest today. With us today, we have Harry Kohler. Welcome, Harry.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you feeling? Are you excited to be here for a show?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, well, we've got a big episode lined up today. We've got quite a lot of discussion. And what is our theme for today, Harry?
I believe we're talking about fairy tales, Nick.
Fairy tales. And it's a really, really interesting topic because I think on the surface, it seems quite basic and quite, there's not much to it. But yeah. I think we're going to really delve under the surface. And two questions we're going to be looking at today a lot is, are they too stereotyped and do they have good messages? However, as always with our special guests, it's time to do a bit of an induction. So, Harry, I'm going to ask you three things. I'm going to ask for your favourite film, your favourite TV series, and your favourite theatre production. Take it away.
So, for favourite theatre production, I probably have to say Book of Mormon. I saw it in Broadway on 2017. Mm-hmm. Really like that.
Yeah.
Favourite TV show or... probably Jane the Virgin, like a bit of Jane the Virgin.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a Netflix original,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's it's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
Yeah. And favourite film, there are a lot, but given a theme for today, I'm probably going to have to go with my favourite fairy tale film, which is Shrek.
Shrek. And I think we're going to be talking about that later today.
Yes, we will be talking about a bit of Shrek.
Very interesting. And are there any other, you know, things that you've seen recently in the entertainment industry that you've that really stood out in the best way or the worst way recently?
No. Really, I've been living under a rock for the last few weeks.
You know, but sometimes that can happen. I think around Melbourne and around any city, there's so much going on that to keep up with it can be such a big thing to do.
Stuff comes up and stuff goes when you don't realise it.
Exactly right. Well, no, that's fantastic, Harry. Thank you for doing that induction. We're going to be going to a song break now, and then we're going to dive into our first segment, our film segment, where, as we said just then, we're going to be looking at Shrek and comparing that to the romantic comedy of Bridget Jones' Diary and that series that follows. But for now, you're with SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. This is an absolute bop of a tune that I'm looking forward to. This is Jao Ho. We'll be back. And that was J-Ho, an absolute bop and a half. Now, that was our special guest option today. Sorry, a song just started playing after that. That was, we are with SASS, the Screen, Air and Stage Show, and I'm with a very, very special guest today, Harry Kohler, and he just chose that bop to play. Thank you for that, Harry. How are you feeling to be on the show? Still feeling good?
I'm feeling very good, Nick. Thanks.
Yeah. And after that bop, it just set the tone for this whole show.
Nerves are all gone.
Absolutely. Now, if you have just caught up with us now, we are talking about fairy tales today, and it's time to dive into our first segment, which always looks at the film and the film industry. And we have two films today, which we're going to be looking at, comparing and analysing together. First of all, we're going to be looking at our favourite classic, or a favourite classic, the 2001 Shrek, which has developed into a huge franchise for the young, but also for the teen, for the old generation. It has really, really remained iconic. So, but as always, first I'll do a quick synopsis and then we'll dive right into discussion. Once upon a time, in a faraway swamp, there lived an ogre named Shrek, whose precious solitude is suddenly shattered by an invasion of annoying fairy tale characters. They were all banished from their kingdom by the evil Lord Farquaad. Determined to save their home, not to mention his, Shrek cuts a deal with Farquaad and sets out to rescue Princess Fiona, to be Farquaad's bride. Rescuing the princess may be small compared to her deep, dark secret. Oh, a little bit suspenseful, that synopsis.
For a kid's movie.
I know. This is a really, really interesting point today that we're going to bring up, Harry, about fairy tales, is that they sometimes, with these fairy tales, are actually really deep and sometimes unsettling, you know, backstories to some of the fairy tales.
Yeah, but it's kind of like overlooked because we kind of try and make it more for a younger audience.
Exactly,
so, like,
right.
The younger stuff's kind of like rushed in, put in there, but then rushed to the side to make it a bit happier, like seeming. So, yeah, it can actually, they can be quite dark and mysterious, but we tend to kind of ignore that.
Exactly right. And I think that's, you know, a major thing that we do is because we want to, you know, we want to enjoy them for their kind of the comedy, their humour, and also their, you know, their bright nature to them.
Yeah, so you don't kind of go into it for like an intriguing storyline, do you?
No. Well, what do you think? Well, on that note, obviously Shrek has remained very iconic to this day. Why? Do you think there's a really particular standout reason? Or do you think it is just, it really follows that line of fairy tale well?
I kind of think Shrek is like a fairy tale with a twist.
Yeah.
And it's kind of got that, like, storyline there, but also it's got that humour.
Yeah.
That anyone can get, which I kind of think most fairy tales don't have. Like, they kind of tend to be more towards a younger audience, but Shrek has that humour that can go across all
boys, audiences. All generations, yeah,
every generation. Like watching it first when I was, like, three, now watching it now, I enjoy it every time you watch it.
Exactly right. And I think if you look at, you know, the prominent fairy tale aspects in there, there's some that really, really stand out. You know, you've got the opening. They say once upon a time, like in the synopsis there, it opens like that. They've got true love's first kiss. Another one they've got, which we were discussing before, is the damsel in distress. Yeah. So this being Princess Fiona. And this is actually quite a common theme, as well as the others, to bring up in the fairy tale.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to kind of see that done in more modern takes. And in also, you know, potentially chick flicks, which we'll look at soon with Bridget Jones.
I kind of think with Shrek, they give it, it's kind of like a fairy tale with a spin, like I said, the once upon a time, but then Shrek uses that page to
clean
up.
So you could, you could even say that maybe Shrek satirizes a little bit of the fairy tale.
Yeah, I think that's it, and kind of like it's a comedy fairy tale sort of thing, like a satirical fairy tale, which I think it does a really good job of, and, you know, it kind of pokes fun at those stereotypes and like how ridiculous some of them are.
Exactly right. And I think it's nice to have that because I think sometimes
it's refreshing because, like,
it's refreshing. Exactly.
It's kind of like a, not that kind of like all happy, gleeful fairy tale. Like there's a bit of like crass behind it. And so I think that's kind of what makes it stand out from other kind of films of its genre.
And I think the other thing is that by being fresh, it kind of avoids being too stereotyped. And that's another thing that sometimes fairy tales can have a problem with. We'll raise it with all our other segments today, is that they can just kind of follow the same structure. And sometimes that can get a bit boring, sometimes a little bit tiresome. So I think what you're saying is that it kind of, with having the comedy intertwined in a really, really nice way and not overused and not overwhelming, it kind of just refreshes it. Another question I'm going to pose to you, obviously this is a animated franchise that has been made into quite a few sequels, and we've got a fifth expected this year. How do you think the sequel, do you think the sequel has aided the franchise, or do you think it's maybe tilted it to the other side?
I think possibly the first few were still quite good, but once it kind of got to about three, four, it kind of started to fall apart a bit because, like, it's run its course, I think, maybe too many sequels.
And that's some a problem that we've been discussing a lot on this show, is too many sequels or too because many remakes.
Because, like, people can be like, oh, I love Shrek, but, like, it ruins it for them when they go and watch those ones, and it's, like, it's not the same comedy as, like, it hasn't aged as well as, like, you would have hoped. Like, Shrek 1 and Shrek 2 were really good. Shrek 3 was okay, but Shrek 4 was...
And it will be really, really interesting to see what the fifth one does, you know, whether they're really going to... Because you see other animated series like Toy Story. We went from 1995 to 1999, I think, or the early 2000s, then we went to 2010, and now we've got another one this year. So that's given it a lot of time, or not a lot of time, but more time than Shrek has. So whether extending the period of time between animated sequels is a positive thing or whether there is really no art to it, you never know.
I think it's... probably sometimes it can be a positive thing, but other times it can kind of like ruin it for me sometimes and for a lot of people. I think if you kind of bring them out closer together, not like year after year after year, but kind of like the same way Toy Story had that kind of 4-year bracket, like, because then people get their hopes up for it and then when it kind of comes out and it misses the mark for them, the film kind of womp womp
exactly, like, right,
flop. So
exactly right, and I understand that today. One of our other big questions, Harry, for today is, we looked at, obviously, is Shrek 2 stereotype, and I think it does dodge a bullet there in that it does, it has this fresh take on the fairy tale. Another question though is, does it have a good message, do you think, to audiences?
I think, yeah.
You think it
does? It does. Like,
I think you could even argue that even just the positivity and the humour throughout.
Yeah.
And also, I think it focuses a lot on friendship as well, which I think is really, really nice.
But it's also kind of like in that one, like, it's kind of, you know, be happy who you are. Like, Shrek's an ogre and, like, he doesn't care what people think, really. Like, and I think that's kind of be who you be. And then, like, that kind of comes through throughout the film and, like, be happy with who you are.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you see at the end Princess Fiona becomes an ogre herself. And then, but she stays an ogre, like, being happy really as you are.
Yeah, and so staying true to yourself.
I think it does have quite a good message for what is supposed to be a kid's movie.
No, it's really good. It's a really, really good point you brought up there in that, you know, yeah, staying true to yourself and not being afraid to be who you are. And I think, yeah, also, as I said before, friendship, you know, and how strong friendship can be. You see these characters, they go through a lot of hardships together and times when they're separated and then times that they're together. And it just shows the power that friends can have.
Yeah.
And when you're in a group, even the power of groups. And I think that's something that we're also going to be looking at today.
Yes.
So fantastic discussion. Now, we've had such a hefty discussion there that we're going to go to a quick song break and then we're going to come back and compare it to Bridget Jones' Diary. A little bit of an odd comparison, but I think we're going to find some good similarities and plenty more discussion and plenty more sass. For now, you're with Sass the Screen and Stage Show with Nick Angus and a very, very special guest today, Harry Colwell. This is Hurts Like Heaven by Coldplay. We'll be right back. And that was Hurts Like Heaven by the one and only Coldplay. Another bop to get the discussion going. You're with Sass the Screen, Air and Stage Show with Nick Angus and a very, very, very special guest for today, Harry Colwell. How are you enjoying the show, Harry? I'm going to ask this every time we come back in just to keep you updated.
No, it's going well.
Yeah, and we just had discussion then, just if you missed it before the ad break, or the song break, I should say, on Shrek, a very, very popular franchise for all generations, how it has used comedy, how it has satirized the fairy tale, and how it has remained very prominent today. For now, though, we're going to do something very interesting. We're going to take everything we discussed about Shrek and we're going to compare it and analyze it in comparison to Bridget Jones' Diary and that franchise. And I think this is going to be really, really interesting because we're just speaking then, you know, I was speaking to someone this week. I'm like, yeah, we're comparing these two this week. And they were like, how are you going to compare them? So I think it'll be really, really cool to just pick up the similarities, but also the differences. But as always, we're going to do a quick synopsis first, and then we'll get right down into discussion. At the start of the new year, 32-year-old Bridget decides it's time to take control of her life and start keeping a diary. Now the most provocative, erotic and hysterical book on her bedside table is the one she's writing. With a taste for adventure and an opinion on every subject, from exercise to men to food to sex and everything in between, she's turning the page on a whole new life. It's quite broad, that description, but I think it's good. I think because it really does, it touched on quite a few areas.
Yeah.
So I think it is really, really good. What do you love about this film, Harry, to start with?
Oh.
that's a broad question to fit the broad description.
I don't know, because it's kind of like one of those, it's obviously a romantic comedy, but it's one of those like romantic comedies that you can see as a fairy tale.
Yes.
Because it follows that fairy tale storyline of looking for Prince Charming.
Yes, and we can compare that very, very prominently to Shrek. You know, exactly. There is this quest to find obviously the princess, but also on the reverse to kind of find her Prince Charming as well. So very much so.
And it kind of, like I was saying to you before, it kind of shows a damsel in distress in a different way, not in a physical way, but more in a mental way that her mental state is what's kind of like keeping her in distress, what's keeping her prisoner. And you can compare that back to Shrek with Princess Fiona in that while she was, captured by the dragon, it was also that her issues with being an ogre and wanting to hide that from everyone was keeping her in back. It was holding her back. It was holding her prisoner. So they both kind of had that emphasis on, like, mental damsel in distress is, like, women having problems with their mental health.
It's a really interesting point you raise. And I think you can see, you know, this pattern of, you know, these fairy tale patterns in other romantic comedies, sometimes they follow this pattern, which is really, really interesting because I think a lot of the time I do this a lot of the time, but I can kind of just categorize genres and just say, that's a genre. And there's no kind of, you know,
linking them between.
There's no linking and there's no influence. Like,
when you look at it in a bit more detail, you can kind of link things together. And
exactly.
Puzzle pieces fit together.
Absolutely. Another comparison, which is really, really cool to look at, is we talked about how Shrek has turned into, so far, a four-film franchise with a fifth predicted. Bridget Jones series is at three films currently, with the most recent in 2016. It started in 2001 as well, so it does have a similarity there. How do you think the sequel works here in the whole franchise? Do you think it loses its magic, or do you think
talking about, like, with Shrek before, I think as it goes on, best leaving things finished when they finish.
Yeah.
I think as they've dragged it on and tried to renew the series with the one back in 2016, the magic is gone from it.
Yeah.
Like, it's, there's nothing really that you want to watch in it anymore.
Yeah.
And because when you kind of see that it's coming back, you're like, well, hang on, didn't they finish everything back then?
Exactly.
Why
right.
are they trying
and
to start it up
also
again now?
The conundrum of what more can they explore?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't want to overdo the same narrative, you know,
exactly.
three times. And then if you go too far, of course, it doesn't really correlate to what
yeah.
the story is actually about. So it can be really, really difficult when you lengthen something out to be like, well, how can we make this different but not so different that it doesn't even relate to the original?
Yeah.
So that's even a, you know, and that's a problem I think Shrek has as well, is that, you know, which character can we bring in now? I think by the fourth they brought in Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, and it was like some whole different storyline.
And it just didn't, I think that's why it didn't really work, because it just didn't connect to that original storyline that which you really, really love. The, you know, the classic nature of, but also the simplicity, you know, bringing this character in from nowhere, it just kind of can sometimes muddle it up a bit.
Yeah, it kind of, it can ruin it sometimes actually. Like a perfect series can be ruined by one bad movie.
Exactly.
Like
right.
that's all it takes to bring down a whole series.
Questions, our main questions for the tale. We'll start with the first one. Do you think that the Bridget Jones series is too stereotyped, or do you think it does have enough new things? Because, you know, you look at the romantic comedy genre and it's huge. You've got movies happening left, right and centre, especially the early 2000s.
Yeah.
That's when a lot of iconic chick flicks and rom-coms came out, and some of them are absolute gold to this day. So it was really, do you think that this influenced a lot of stereotype, or do you think it was stereotyped?
I think Bridget Jones's Diary, as one, it was kind of like one of the pioneers of these chick flicks sort of
things. And it was an influencer.
Yeah, so I think that it's mainly influenced more of the movies in the following years coming through, because you see a lot of movies coming out of these bumbling female lead characters who are looking for love coming from that sort of storyline similar to this. So I think it was quite an influencer, and it's created a stereotype, I think.
Exactly, and I think that's also good when you remember... I think when you remember the film, it proves that it has been really, really a strong influencer. You don't kind of forget it. Sometimes you have films that, because they're so stereotyped or they weren't the influencer of the stereotype, they can kind of just be forgotten quite easily. Yeah. So I think what Bridget Jones does well is it, because it was produced early on and it had all this kind of fresh content, I think it's, you kind of remember it for that. And look, you know, you may look at, because you know, it's a 2001 film, you can sometimes be like, oh, like the cinematography cannot be as modern as today. Sometimes you know, the fashion, obviously, those general things can be, you know, a little bit dated, which, you know, you have to expect. But I think that also makes it kind of all the more fun. You know, you kind of look back in that time.
Well, I remember a few weeks ago, my brother had Legally Blonde on.
Oh,
he was watching.
Classic.
And they're like in this scene where like, they just like, get out your computers, and they're like these big bricks. And you're like, it just makes it so much better looking
exactly.
back at it
now. And it's funny because that would have been comedy that they probably wouldn't have intended on at the time. But it's become funny today because it's kind of just got that dated aspect to it. Last question before we head to another song break. This is our other main question is, do you think it has good messages, the Bridget Jones Diary franchise?
It's I don't think it's
one.
Something that you'd take the messages to heart in.
And I think this is probably
I think it's kind of something that you kind of laugh it off at, like, but you wouldn't go out in the real world and do something like that.
And I think, you know, it's kind of aiming for that comedic relief.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, while
it's
it does have a storyline.
It's not something you'd go in and go, I'm in this to bring a message home.
Exactly right. And I think that's good. You know, that's what the particular genres and the different genres they work for. They work to have kind of different emotional investments and emotional impacts on audiences. You know, the horror, they tend to horrify, whereas you have sometimes really deep, powerful, they hope to make audiences leave with a message.
Yeah.
Rom-coms, chick flicks, comedies, they're just a bit of a laugh,
sometimes
a bit of a
can,
release.
Sometimes they can have that unintentional
Absolutely.
Message, but like, I don't think Bridget Jones really, you would leave it going, oh, I'm going to take this to heart and put it in my life.
Mm.
I think it's something, yeah, you go there and it's comedic relief for you. It's supposed to be like, I've had a rough day, want to have a laugh.
Yeah.
Chuck on Bridget Jones's Diary.
Chuck it on. And I think it is a good film to kind of just, you know, I think it, as we were talking about before, I think it is a really highlight and standout for the chick flick and for the rom-coms, I think, which is good. Well, then fantastic. I think it was really, really cool what we picked up there in comparing Bridget Jones and that series to the Shrek series. And there are some, a lot of similarities in relation to our theme today, the fairy tale. If you have any questions, thoughts, opinions about what we're discussing or what's coming up in our show, please don't hesitate to get in contact with us through all our socials, facebook.com/sass, as well as our Instagram and Twitter, sass_show. For now, we're going to go to to a quick song break, and then we'll be back with our TV segment where we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time. Very fairy tale based, but we're going to be looking also at the unpleasant side of fairy tales. For now, this is Sass, the Screen and Stage Show with Nick Angus and Harry Kohler, our very special guest for today. And we're going to go to A Little Party Killed Nobody. Enjoy this one. We'll be back. And that was A Little Party Killed Nobody, another bop for today. I'm really enjoying this playlist so far. It's bopping in here. You're with Sass, the Screen and Stage Show with Nick Angus and a very, very special guest today, Harry Colwell. Now, we're having a lot of fun. We've been talking about fairy tales. Are they too stereotyped? And how do they portray good messages to their audiences? We've looked at Shrek, Bridget Jones' Diary, comparing those two on a really, really cool level.
Yeah.
And now it's time to go to our TV segment. And what's our TV segment for today, Harry?
Once Upon a Time, I believe.
It is. And it's almost like you have to talk about this. It's fairy tale.
Yeah.
How can you not? But I think we're really going to be focusing with this discussion on the unpleasant side of fairy tales.
It can be
portrayed.
Yeah.
And also a little bit of critical analysis on this. Our thoughts, we've both seen it.
I've seen like four episodes.
Seen a few episodes. Well, that is one thing we're going to bring up. There are 7 seasons of this, so a lot to cover. But let's get right into a synopsis and we'll delve into it. Once Upon a Time tells the story of a new world, one in which fairy tale legends and modern life collide. Emma Swan is comfortable in her life as a bail bonds collector when Henry, the child she gave up a decade earlier, suddenly shows up. He's convinced that she's the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming, who sent her away before the evil queen could cast a spell, freezing the fairy tale world in time and bringing them to the present-day storybook. After taking Henry home, Emma decides to stay in the town to keep an eye on him, and she discovers he may not be wrong after all. Even reading through that description, there is so much going on.
So much to process, like, in one paragraph.
And I think this is one point we could even start with the discussion today. What Once Upon a Time does is they really jam-pack the episodes with characters, storylines, location, plot twists. You've got storybook, and then you've got the fairy tale world. And one thing I could never quite figure out is, are they aligning? One past, is one present? I think it's really, really cool because, you know, to have kind of an overload of fairy tale, you know, it's always quite nice. But sometimes it got a little bit overwhelming. What did you think, Harry?
I think, honestly, yeah, there was too much they were trying to fit in an episode. Like, add an extra 2 episodes into your season and then put what you're trying to fit in, drag it out a bit longer. Because the problem is with something like that, if you, like, walk away for a bit to go do something and come back, you can just be like, bam.
Yeah.
I'm thrown out at this.
Exactly.
And I have to like rewind, go back, do it all. When with most shows, you can get up, walk away and come back, sit back down and resume again.
You can kind of pick up where they left off. Yeah. I think that's a great point. And you would even think, you know, maybe for 7 seasons, they could have dragged it out a little bit more. I think there was really an urge to bring in as many fairy tale characters and stories as possible. But sometimes that can really take away from what the story actually wants to be.
I think the problem also there can be that if you have like so much being squashed into one episode, like you have to keep watching them on a continuous basis.
Yes.
Like you can't go like watch one episode and then you have like quite a busy week, so you don't get time to watch the next episode. So you watch it like in 2 weeks' time, and you kind of had to rewatch one you watched a week, 2 weeks before, because you're like, wait, who's this? Who's this? Like,
what's happened?
So you spend like half of the show wondering what is going on.
Yeah.
And then the other half, you're like, finally register for it. And you're like,
I'm
going to have to go rewatch the one a week ago because I can't remember.
And this is very common that you find with some TV series, is that they really do jam pack. We've looked at also mini series that can only be about 8 or 10 episodes for a series. And even that, they really jam pack because, you know, they've only got 8 episodes. With this one, they've got about 20 roughly episodes per season. So they've got twice as many. So even miniseries, while they struggle with it, the larger TV series can as well, because I think, you know, who doesn't want to have as many characters, as many, you know, locations and everything in it, but you've really got to put a restriction on it because otherwise it can just get too overwhelming.
And how much is too much? Like, characters, you can sometimes struggle to bond or like feel for a character when there are too many characters being introduced at once.
Exactly right.
There was a movie I was thinking of, but like, I felt nothing for some of the characters who had died in a movie because, like, it was like, here's this character, here's this character, here's this character, here's this character.
Because you don't have the time for character development.
You lose that. So they kind of, like, die in a movie and you're like, oh, well,
Because, yeah, I think good because you've got so many different characters, you lose the time to really emotionally sympathise with the character character development.
You need to, like, kind of, when they try and introduce, like, multiple characters in an episode, you're like, settle on.
Yes.
I've just met this one. Now you're trying to introduce me to this one. Mm. 2 minutes later, oh, here comes this one.
Exactly.
So I think the magic of what they were trying to do gets lost.
I think that's a great point. Now, looking back to the theme of fairy tales, we've looked at a lot of, you know, the pleasant side. And I think in here, where it exists is this idea that enduring love can conquer evil. I think that's really, really prominent. Also with, you know, friendship and familial bonds can be really, really strong and really, really can help for solidarity and strength. And I think that's also what we looked at with Shrek, how, you know, his friendships really, really help him to fulfill his quest. But it's good to also look at the unpleasant sides, and I think there are quite a few portrayed in here. We can start with a couple. I think one is, just because one individual attains it happily ever after, it doesn't mean that everyone else does. And I think that's really, really interesting, because you see some characters, they, you know, they end up with Prince Charming, they find, I don't know, I'm just off the top of my head, they find the treasure, they find what they're looking for. But sometimes that can impact on others that they aren't in the same situation, which can be quite sad.
Well, exactly. I think what the thing with most modern fairy tale, like those fairy tales they make for kids, is that they kind of show the happily ever after, but they don't really show what happened.
They don't look at the background noise.
Yeah, to the antagonists during the movie. Like, they might show something that happens to them, but mainly they just kind of go, and they lived happily ever after. Mm. What about the other character? Oh, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you've got a really good point there, is that they just focus on the happily ever after and say, oh, yeah, everything around is okay, but you don't really know that.
And if you actually kind of look back to those Grimm brothers, the original fairy tales, they weren't very pleasant, some of them. They were quite dark and quite haunting.
Absolutely. And they influenced a lot of the, you know, the modern day fairy tales, like Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella. They
were
originals.
All Grimm brothers, but exactly then they're like kind of made them all happy and stuff. And you go back and read the originals and you're like, oh, like, I was reading one for, like, I have too much time on my hands at the moment, so I'm doing a bit too much, but I was reading one on, like, the Rapunzel, the original Grimm brothers, and, like, it's really haunting because she, like, instead of him climbing up and finding her, she, like, falls out of the tower and he goes blind, but he hears her singing and but it's kind of like, it's not really a happy ending.
And it's a really, really interesting point, because you think what has been influenced by these is, you know, very happy and very bright fairy tales. And you're like, that discrepancy between, you know, what we started with from the Grimm brothers and then this, it's quite stark and it's quite confronting. So I think that also is emphasised in this TV series, with looking at the kind of the dark and underlying and not leaving, you know, the background noise to just be left. It kind of explores that, which I think is good, and explores the original darkness to these stories. Rumpelstiltskin, he pretty much plays this villain. And, you know, we've always known him as, you know, a little bit of a cheeky but jovial character, whereas in this he's quite actually evil.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite good in that it really does focus on the evil side.
I think that's something they do right, is that they kind of focus on both sides of the story of negative effects and positive effects. And so I think for all their faults, they managed to get something right in the end.
Exactly right. And look, I think it also is good that they do this, because it makes it a little bit more complex, I think. And especially, we've already talked about how this series does, it can tend to drag on and overload a little bit.
If it was kind of just happy chappy, it would be like,
how
I couldn't
would be so
keep
draining.
Watching this.
Exactly
like,
right.
The fact that they kind of have that, and it's almost kind of like a horror element. They've kind of tried to make it very dark.
Yes.
And in some ways that has worked for them, but I don't think it's worked to the full effect. But, like, kudos to them for trying something different with the fairy tale genre.
Absolutely correct. Back to our quick questions for the day before we go to a song break. We might just do one for today. Do you think that this TV series is stereotyped, or do you think, because I think it does have obviously the elements of fairy tale within it. You know, it's fairy tale in your face, let's say. Do you think it does enough to be different, or do you think it just kind of, because we've already talked about how it can overload with its fairy tale aspects. Do you think it also does enough to kind of diverge from that, or do you think it's a little bit too stereotyped?
I actually think it tries to do too much to be different.
Okay.
Like, it's trying to be like that person who's like, oh, look at me, look how different I am, look how cool I am, like, everybody loves me because I'm different, I'm cool.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's kind of like people, I think, have dropped off the series as it's gone on, because people are kind of like you're trying too much.
Yeah.
You're trying too hard to be different. Like, it's good to be different, but, like, when you're trying way too hard
it can just
to
overload.
Be different, it can...
So maybe it even goes back to that idea that we were talking about with Shrek and Bridget Jones' Diary, is that it, when it tries too hard, it loses the kind of originality and the classic that we kind of love.
Be different by all means. Like, put a spin on it, but don't put, like, multiple spins on it. Don't
go
be like, we're going to focus on the dark side with the light side and then back to the dark side and then all these characters here.
Exactly right.
Focus on, like, one thing that you're going to do differently, one or two things, I think.
I think it's a good thing to leave with. So a bit of an anticlimactic end there, and I think it's great that we've looked at kind of the unpleasant side that fairy tales can have, but also a bit of a critical analysis of this TV series Once Upon a Time. It's time to go to another song break for now. However, we've got plenty more coming up in the show with our stage segment. We are holding on to an absolute bop of a show, and this is time for Holding On by Flume. You're with Sass, the Screen Air and Stage Show. And that was Holding On by Flume. You're with Sass, the Screen Air and Stage Show with Nick Angus and a very special guest today, Harry Colwell. I didn't check up with you last one, last song break, so I'm going to check up with you now. What are you thinking of the show? Any thoughts, any questions, queries, or are you just having a ball?
Terrible. No,
oh, a little bit of sass there.
That's I'm having a good time. Really good show today.
We love a bit of sass, an unprecedented sass, so that's fantastic. Now it's time to head into our stage segment for the episode, and we are looking at the theme of fairy tales. So far we've covered Shrek, Bridget Jones' Diary, those two franchises, as well as Once Upon a Time, the TV series. Now it's time to head onto stage, and with two musicals today we're going to cover, we'll be covering Seussical as well as Aladdin. So let's kick it off with Seussical. We're going to skip doing the synopsis today just because we've got a lot of content to cover. And if you would like to know more about them, search them up online. There is stacks online. But Seussical, it's pretty self-explanatory. It pretty much follows the stories from Dr. Seuss all intertwined in this one world entity with major focus on Horton Hears a Who, but also plenty of other characters in there having a ball with the Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat's kind of like the MC of the show,
isn't
it? Like,
exactly.
He's kind of there all the time.
Exactly. Like, it's really, really interesting how they play with how they use the characters and how they kind of had them interact with each other. I think it's always, I've always brought this up, is that I love any entertainment piece that brings together characters. Like, that's why I love, you know, the New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day. I know they didn't score very well online, but they're great films for this, having intertwining characters
like
all together.
Like, bringing characters all together, especially from different, like, series and books.
Yeah.
Bringing them in together, it can be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Seussical was first released in November 2002. And from then, it went on to receive a Tony Award nomination in 2002, but it did not, unfortunately, win this one. But I think even having, you know, the capacity to receive a Tony Award is fantastic, and I think it's really, really strong to do that. And it is, as I said before, it looks at adaptations of the Dr. Seuss books that we've grown to love. And it's what one point I would love to bring up today is, do you think it, you know, is it adapted well from the books? You know, these are classic books that we have really, really... that have remained so tentatively in our memory and so prominently. Do you think, you know, it does well in taking these books and adapting them to the stage in a way that does justice?
I think they're very, like, interesting books when you look back
on
them.
Oh, they're very quirky. Yeah. I think that's what the musical does.
I remember when, because I'm, like, the youngest in my family, I used to bring home the Dr. Seuss books to read with Mum, and she's like, oh, not again.
Not
because
again.
Because you've been through with two with my older brothers, and now she's like, here we go again.
And I think because they're so quirky, it almost has to be on stage, because the stage is very whimsical, very quirky.
I think
it's
the
good
way they've
that.
Kind of done it, like, being so quirky, it was going to be tough, but I think the way they've managed to adapt it, you couldn't have done it in a movie. I think Broadway is the best place to be quirky.
Best medium.
Because like I was saying before, like, it's so interesting how many weird stories get onto Broadway and do really well. Like,
yeah, I know.
I was talking
really
to you about the Green Day show on Broadway. It
exactly
was like,
right.
Well, I remember when I was going to watch it, I'm like, how can you have a rock band have like a show on Broadway? And it was really good.
Yeah, and I think it's great to be surprised by that, because it's just something you're not used to, you're not expecting to be.
You don't kind of want to,
but it can be.
I think with a musical, you don't want to go in there and expect.
Yeah.
You want to go in and be surprised, and I think Seussical does do that to its viewers. Audience, not viewers.
Absolutely. I think it's a great point you raise, is that it really, it stands out for just being quirky, colourful, fun, but also for just being different.
Yeah.
In relation to the fairy tale theme, I think where it follows this course is not only having these colourful, quirky characters, it does have elements of happily ever after, yeah. I think. Also, you know, we talked about friendship and familial bonds that are really strengthened through it. And I think they're really prominent parts of the fairy tale, which are emphasised through here. And I think it does justice to staying close to the fairy tale genre, yeah. but also being, you know, that little bit different, which is good. I think it balances if we compare it to, I know comparing stage to TV is not, you know, the best thing to do, but if we compared it to Once Upon a Time, which we just spoke about, I think Seussical balances everything a little bit nicely, a bit more nicely, and it just doesn't overload because it could easily overload.
I think definitely, but I think because Seussical isn't trying to fit so much in.
Yes.
I think, and they also know the direction they want to go with that we're going to be quirky. I think Once Upon a Time was trying to go in two directions at the same time. So they're like, we want happily ever after, but a dark happily ever after. Yes. So they're kind of pulling at each other. But I think because Seussical's like, we're just going to go full quirky, full weird, and it's going to be different. It works because they're just going one straight path.
Exactly right. How if we go now to Aladdin? So the musical of Aladdin, which was first performed in July 2011, nominated and won a Tony Award in 2014. How do you think this one, you know, aligns with the fairy tale genre? I think it is obviously our classic fairy tale from the original film. And this is another big risk. You take a loved film from our childhood days, but also something that has gained such popularity over the generations, and then put on stage. How do you think this, you know, generates? Does it generate well, or is it too risky?
I think with something like Aladdin, I think they managed to hit the mark with that.
Yeah.
But it was a massive risk they were going for.
Yeah. I think to adapt anything that we really have an appreciation for in its original form is a risk. Because I think you see it's walking this tightrope of success or downright downfall, which can be really, really unfortunate.
I think the thing that they've done differently with other adaptions is, though, they've adapted it differently. So instead of going movie to movie, they've gone movie to stage.
Yes.
So they've taken it in a different direction. And I think that's why sometimes reboots can fail, because, like, it's just the same thing again.
Yes.
In a movie, though. So, like, obviously you've seen online that they're releasing the new Aladdin, and it's been...
I know.
Been getting very great reviews aren't too happy about it.
It's a bold choice. It's a really, really... it's a risk to take.
Well, because I think the thing with that is, Aladdin, the original movie, because it's a cartoon and because it's set in like the middle, not the Middle Ages, but like it's not set in modern times, it doesn't really need to be rebooted.
Yeah. Do you need to reboot it?
No, you don't. And I just kind of think it's another one of Disney's cash grabs.
Yes.
Because regardless of what's going to happen, people are going to go watch it.
Yes.
Because there are going to be people who love Aladdin enough that will go and watch it. But I think with the stage production, they managed to give it this, like, new lease of life.
I think that's why it's been so successful, because they just gave it this vibrance. Yeah. I think this really, really fresh vibrance to make it something quite spectacular.
Instead of watching the same thing again, just since this time live action, instead of watching something that's happening right in front of you and you're like... I think they've done a great job with it. I haven't seen it myself personally.
I was lucky enough to see it, and it really, really was fantastic. Just for how I think it stayed close to the original, but also just gave it this really bold vibrance to it, which really lifted it up.
I've spoken to people who've seen it, and they've said it's amazing. You have to go see it. But I don't think that... My mum likes musicals, but...
You never know. It is still currently touring around Australia. So it's not in Melbourne, but it is other parts of Australia. It's on its way to New Zealand as well. So, and I think it will be back before you know.
Hop on a plane to Auckland.
Why not? And for anyone out there that needs to find more details, as I said, you can search up these musicals online. For anyone that has any questions for today, feel free to get in contact with us via our socials, facebook.com/sass or sass_show for Instagram and Twitter. For now, we're going to go to another song break, and then we'll be back with our outro where we discuss what we discussed today and look at those main two questions. For now, it's time for Florence and the Machine with Dog Days Are Over. You're with Sass, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. And that was Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. Florence and the Machine's Dog Days might be over, but ours are just... That did not work. Look, with all our songs, we try and do a little bit of a, you know, a segue, but that one just did not work at all.
We planned it all and then it just fell apart.
We planned it all and I'm like, hang on, this doesn't work. Anyway,
you should have written it down.
You are with Sass, the Screen, Air and Stage Show. I hope you're having a lovely morning. You're with Nick Angus and our guest for today, Harry Colwell. We've had a really, really awesome morning where we've talked about the theme of fairy tales along five entertainment pieces. We looked at Shrek, Bridget Jones' Diary, Once Upon a Time, and the musicals of Seussical and Aladdin. And I think we really, really covered pretty much every side there is to fairy tale, the good side, the bad side, the complex side, the basic side. And I think it's really, really cool to look at, you know, what are the common themes of fairy tale that people know about? What are the ones that people don't tend to know about?
Yeah, that's it. I think it's been really good opening up these fairy tales that people
opening up those Once Upon a Time books.
Yeah.
was that a bit better? No.
No, not at all.
And we also looked at our two questions for today was, are fairy tales too stereotyped these days? And do they have good messages? So it was really, really cool to relate that to each of our entertainment pieces and really pick out whether they answer these questions well, whether they weren't answered, or whether they were answered in a good way. Yeah. So, for now, that is the end of an episode today. Unfortunately, we go so quickly with these episodes, and if you've just caught up with us now, you'll be able to find this on our Omni and Spotify account very soon. All our pages are on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sass, as well as all our other socials. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you all listening today, and an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio. Harry, have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, I had a great time.
If you had a bopping time, how have you thought of our playlist? It's been bopping.
Could have been better. Nah, it's good.
Oh, the sass from Harry. Oh, look, it's been an absolute fantastic episode. We really, really appreciate you coming
and
speaking to us. It's always good, I think, when we have extra people in the studio just to, you know, extend the discussion, you know, lengthen it out. And it just makes, I think, the discussion much more complex and much more interesting. But for now, we're going to end with a bit of Beyonce. This is Love on Top. We hope you have a lovely, lovely morning. And we will be back next week at Thursday from 9 to 10 a.m. Until then, keep up with your screen, air and stage. In other words, Harry,
stay sassy.
You got it. We'll see you all next week. Have a lovely day.